You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Is that Billy Gill? Oh, my God.
Hey, Nick Wright, how are you?
What's up, man? Totally agree on the whale's mouth.
Just oh, the guy's full of shit?
Yeah, just obvious.
There's no way.
What are we even talking about?
How would you make a whale throw up?
I don't know. Punching him in the uvula like you guys discussed, I don't think is the strategy.
A boxing bag?
Well, what is your strategy, though?
I think if you actually get in there, you're just but luckily for that guy, he wasn't.
I was watching something on Disney Plus this weekend. Man, these whales are big. Yeah. I might have underestimated
their
size.
Put it on the pole. Whale's big.
Yeah. Was it Pinocchio? Because that was fake.
These whales
also,
are big.
Also, maybe tell Jessica that her species takes are really bad.
I'm right here.
Oh, sorry. You weren't showing up on my feed. Sorry, you weren't one of the people at the top. I'll tell Jessica. Jessica, those are bad takes.
What? Hold on. Just let you know. I read a whole story this morning that there's an octopus city named Octlantis.
Yeah, that's why it was a bad take, is you could have gone to Octopi, and instead you were like, nah.
Squids,
it's right there.
Octopi, whatever. That's the same difference. They're both smart.
Is it our place to be naming cities that are being established by octopi?
Seems like appropriation.
I think so, too.
Stugatz is taking an earned victory lap today. Sports is filled with losers who can be criticized. Mike Schur is confused by Stugatz's take. He's writing in, so the way to earn respect is to lose on your own, but if you lose, you don't get rings, which is the only thing that matters.
Lose with Jeff Green, right? Losing with Jeff Green while scoring 50 points is better than winning with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Yes. Yep, I said it.
Okay, yep. So here's Nick Wright. First things first, I'm sure he's going to agree vigorously with this. Let's see what you've got, Nick. What is your opinion here? Nick has just emerged. He is demanding to be heard because what? Because Stugatz,
I demanded. I called in a favor. I was like, I don't have Stugatz or Dan's cell phone numbers. Mike Ryan, who is my personal connection to the show, is not here. So I called the people at Twitter and was like, hey, for 30 seconds, can you make Dan follow me on Twitter? They're like, why? I was like, I got to send him a DM. You can fix it after. So he did. And I invited myself on the show. I got a question for you, Dan, as you patronize my guy Stugatz, who has the obviously correct take.
Thank you.
Do you like action movies? Are you a fan of any of them?
Yeah, I like them, but not many of them.
Right. I understand. You're more of a, deeper thought, No Country for Old Men type of thing. I get it. But like Die Hard, you enjoyed it, right?
Yes.
You know why Die Hard was great? Because it was one Bruce Willis against 12 terrorists.
Boom.
You know what action movie sucks? If there's four Bruce Willis, two terrorists, and it's like, well, he's supposed to do that. And that people yearn to see their heroes as underdogs. That is one of the things we like. So seeing Durant and a loss creates a greater sense of awe, fulfillment, and astonishment for many than when it's like, well, he's got three of the four best players on the court. So of course they won. So yeah, this is similar to, for a lot of people, LeBron's 2015 finals loss with Mozgov and Delly was more impressive than his 2012 or 13 finals victories in Miami. Like, it's not a bad take. It's actually the right take, and I doff my proverbial cap to Stu Gatz.
Well, thank you, Nick.
So, Nick, would you say a super team would be like the Expendables in this situation?
It's not just the Expendables. Aren't those superhero movies, the Justice League stuff? Like, don't superheroes get together all the time? And we love those action movies. The Fast and the Furious doesn't have a bunch of people that are huge stars.
Careful.
Listen, I'm not familiar with the Fast and the Furious franchise, but here's the thing about the superhero movies you mentioned. That's make-believe. Where Die Hard, it's real
right.
people.
So buddy. Action right. movies you're talking yes. about are real. Okay, that's
yeah.
right.
Jason yes. Bourne that's against right. a lot of people. Right. Bruce Willis or John McClane against a lot of people. John Wick against a lot of people and horses. It's a simple formula that Durant fell into, and now it's like, wow, look at what he did. That's amazing. It was great, which is why, like, the guy went 0-for-6 in overtime and airballed the game-winning shot. Nobody's going to criticize him because it's like, we get it. We understand you did everything you could have done. You played a brilliant basketball game. And now if he had zero rings, then obviously it would be looked at differently, but he's already checked. You're just like in life or in sports. You know what? I'm going to use an uncomfortable analogy, but let's do it. Dan, you'd accomplished almost everything professionally except for this. So you wanted to check off this box. It's like, okay, I've won all the newspaper awards, had a great radio show, had a great television show. I've done all this with corporate backing. What's the box left to check? Let me try to do something on my own.
Forgive us. Your internet connection is
well
a little
said,
bit
though,
spotty.
I mean,
what I would say to you and to everybody as we're talking about this is, and I don't know how it is you guys extend your respect for others. I have never questioned the greatness of Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant isn't any greater to me today than he has been at any point in terms of how great he is at basketball. He did not show me anything that I did not think that he was capable of. He's one of the greatest scorers ever. He makes it look easier than anyone I've ever seen play the sport. And it doesn't matter to me whether he's got four superstars or one superstar. He's still one of the best players ever. It doesn't change the measurement or the respect for me one iota.
But when you're one of the, well, Dan, first off, you did see him do something he rarely does, which is carry Jeff Green around, which is carry Blake Griffin and aging Blake
only
Griffin
reason
around.
I haven't seen it is because he played with Russell Westbrook and he's always played with stars before. This necessitated him being someone who scored more, but he's every bit as great as I thought he was. There's no distinction for me. There's no difference for me. I'm not surprised that Kevin Durant can score against anybody. The man averages 30 points a game.
But what Nick and I are saying is when you have that kind of talent, Dan, superior talent, all-time talent, you don't need help. You don't need recruits. You don't need to go seeking a championship. Like, John McClane was fine on his own. Can you imagine if he called in John Wick and Marion Cobretti? I mean, think about it.
Well, let me ask you this. Dan, I'm not surprised by the scoring. You weren't a little surprised in game 5 with the passing and in games 5 and 7 with the 48 minutes and the 53 minutes? I was a little surprised.
Nick, what I'm surprised by is that after that injury, he could be the same player that he was before. That after that injury, he could play those kinds of minutes. But he wasn't showing me anything that... Was he showing you something you didn't think he was capable of?
Well, it's not that I didn't... I actually thought he could do it, but I didn't know it. Now we know it.
Yes.
It's similar to Steph.
All right, I can't. What am I supposed to keep doing with this as an internet connection? It's the third time that this has happened. What do we do? Can we get it to be any better?
Nick, why don't you try disconnecting from the Zoom and calling back in? Blow on the cartridge as well. Okay. See if that works.
That's how we're going to do it. All right, we'll try and bring Nick back.
Because it's odd that I have someone that agrees with me, and here he is getting cut off. I feel like someone sabotaged us.
I do find it interesting that Stugatz is willing, when the measurement has always been rings.
Yeah,
it's the measurement. Mm-hmm. This time, the measurement is second round playoff loss. It's the definition. Stugatz just made Andy Dalton an all-time great. Ginger category, admittedly, by simply getting to the playoffs.
Right.
The measurement is wins.
I didn't make him an all-time great. I mean, as you pointed out.
Him top 10 redhead of all time.
Well, go ahead. Give me nine others. I mean, seriously. Red rifle.
You're missing an important factor here, though, Dan. QR, quality rings. And right now, KD does not have a ton of quality rings. Mm-hmm. He just has rings.
Right, right. Meaningless rings.
He doesn't have any QR. He only has a couple of R's and no R's in Stugatz's personal record.
MRs. I mean, I'm willing to upgrade to MRs. Meaningless rings.
Well, is that an upgrade? I thought that that's where we already were. I didn't think that was.
I'm at no rings right now.
Okay, you're at no rings, and you're thinking about based on a second round playoff loss. You're thinking
of the best I've ever seen
him
play, man. I saw the fire in his eyes. Eyes,
so
man.
You are thinking of upgrading him to meaningless rings, which is a step short of meaningful rings, or the highest compliment is quality rings. I just want to make sure I have these measurements right.
Yes, quality rings. Jordan has six of them. Okay. He would have had eight if he didn't take 2 years off.
Okay, right. So, but that is, I thought that was the measurement. I didn't think that Jordan got any credit whatsoever for all of those playoff losses before he got all the rings.
Like Elijah Wan does not have quality rings. The only reason he won those rings was because Jordan took the 2 years off. They're not quality rings. I mean, they're just. They're
go
not,
ahead,
I'm
Nick.
I'm sorry,
Nick.
Akeem.
Does Elijah Wan have any QRs?
Yes, his first one, he had no help, Stugatz.
Yeah,
come on, it's Robert Horry and it's Kenny Smith. There's no other stars there. That's one of the best rings ever. The Jordan would have won eight straight is obviously a terrible take, but I'm not going to go. I want to be team Stugatz here. So it's a terrible take. It's just an outrageous take, and it doesn't stand up to the scrutiny of any history or analysis whatsoever.
You had him slowing down after three, huh?
Okay. What I was trying to say before the internet stopped me from being great, and now I'm on my phone, I hope this is far better, is Dan, did you not get a different sense of Steph this year than you had previously?
We have been having, Nick, this conversation since the Sacramento Kings started losing piece by piece. This when the Sacramento Kings had Weber and Stojakovic and Bibby, do you remember how year by year they'd lose a piece and then all of a sudden Bibby was a little bit better? Stojakovic was statistically better, but the team ended up being worse. So, yes, of course, when Steph has to carry the whole thing, he statistically is better and their team stinks. Like that. He's great, but what happens? They're an eighth seed because it happened. Nick, we just saw this happen. We saw it just happen with Paul George. Kawhi goes out. Hey, look, Paul George is better than we thought. Harden and Kyrie are not right. Oh, look, Durant is better than we thought he was. Oh, look, Devin Booker just had a triple-double first time. What was the difference? Chris Paul's out. Of course, if I give somebody who's great all the usage rate, they're going to be great and their team's going to be lesser.
Okay, yes, sometimes. And sometimes guys just crumble under it. Sometimes guys just can't do it. Like the only question left was Steph this year. We all knew that if you took Steph off the Warriors in 15 and 16 and put Russ or Harden in their place, the Warriors would have been worse. But there was a legitimate question. Was the opposite also true? If you would have put Steph on the 2017 Thunder, the team that Russ had the average of the triple-double, won the scoring title, led to the playoffs, lost. Could he have done that? Or because he's a little smaller and not as athletic, would it not have translated? It was an unknown. We then got to see it, and it's like, oh, he can do everything. You seem to be confident that all the great players can do everything. I like to see it. With Durant, we got to see it.
Nick, you'll see it every time. Kevin Love was this in Minnesota, and his team stunk. And then he goes, and he's the second or the third best player. And what happens? They end up winning a championship. Chris Bosh did this in Toronto, and his team stunk. Like, every guy in that league who is actually great, give me all the guys who haven't done it when you've seen them crumble under it.
But LeBron won with Kevin Love. Like, he won an NBA championship. Like, Kevin Durant's problem is, Dan, he gets too much help. It's like, it's not enough just to have one player. He needs Draymond Green, he needs Klay Thompson, he needs Steph Curry, and then he needs James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Like, Kyrie was enough. Go win with Kyrie.
He doesn't need anybody to score 30 points a game for his entire prime. He doesn't need anybody to do that. He averages that. It's his average game is to be better at scoring than just about anyone ever, no matter who his teammates are. Like, we know this about him.
So, to answer your question, I think a good example is Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving will always score, right? But will you win at all? I guess you're making the point is the good stats, bad team guy. I think Durant showed you this series that I know they ended up losing in overtime by a shot. But I think he showed you this series that, I mean, literally, if he wore size 17, which he does wear, that's the crazy thing from this weekend is he wears size 17 in real life and 18 in the games because it makes him feel his feet feel better. That's a real thing he talked about like 3 years ago. I think the Nets are the favorites to win the title right now with no Kyrie and no Harden. I didn't think that would have been the case 3 weeks ago because I'm like, as great as Durant is, can he be the playmaker? Can he play 45 minutes in the playoffs? You knew it without seeing it. I needed to see it. I think Stugatz needed to see it. I don't know how you're so confident of it without having seen it.
I don't view sports. I've said this before, right? It's the idea. To me, it's a childish way of viewing sports. That to be the child hiding behind the couch who doesn't see that his feet are out and so someone can see their feet. And because that child believes that no one can see them, that is so. I don't need to see it to know that something is so. Like, Kevin Durant is one of the best scorers ever. If I put him on any team ever, Nick, you know good and well that team's going to be relevant. Are they going to be champions? Chip good? I don't know. I still don't know if that would have been enough. It wasn't enough to beat Milwaukee. I don't know that it would have been enough to beat Phoenix or the Clippers. It was good enough to beat Milwaukee.
Yeah. Okay. Nobody is denying that he's one of the greatest scorers ever. I think that across sports, let me ask one other thing, because I feel like I'm frustrating you and I don't mean to, especially because I invited myself onto your show.
It's only your internet connection that's frustrating me. It's not your argument.
And you agreeing with me.
Do you feel fully confident that Mike Trout would be a great playoff performer?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how you can. Based on what?
Based on what? He's great at baseball.
You don't think there is such a thing as the guys who in the crucible of the moment get worse?
Small samples there are in randomness like baseball. In basketball, there's very little. It's why what Ben Simmons did yesterday and in that series is so confusing. What reference points do you have for someone just totally collapsing everything they've ever been where you're looking at something and you can see that someone is scared?
Yeah, usually in basketball, the great players, it doesn't happen to. And Ben ate himself alive there. I guess the kid looking at his feet thing, I understand the point. But I think in sports, we have enough examples of certain guys who get better in the biggest spots, certain guys who stay the same, and certain guys who get 5 to 10% worse, which is all that separates the great from the all-time greats, that when we get a piece of concrete evidence that, what LeBron did in 2018 with those Cavs post Kyrie, KD could have done something similar. That's valuable for KD. And you knew it evidently before I did. You were certain of it. I wasn't. Like I did want to see it because he was drafted to the team and they got Russ. He then chose the team with Steph and Clay. He then chose the team with Kyrie and then they went and got Harden. So it's not even like that we had snapshots of it. We didn't even have moments of it. Now we do. We have a half a series of it against a great team.
Dan, he was celebrated in a way after Game 5 and Game 7 in a way he's never been celebrated before. Universally, Kevin Durant was. Like, more celebrated than him winning Finals MVP and winning a championship with the Warriors.
But I believe that's an indictment of the people viewing it, not of him. I think his talent is so singular, Nick, that I'm a bit shocked to hear you say that Kevin Durant, as the lead player on a team, can't make just about anyone feel championship good the way that LeBron did. You know, when we knew he was going to lose in the finals, but what did he end up doing? He ended up shooting that one year, I don't know which year it was, where he ended up shooting like 35%, but he was taking 40 shots, playing an irresponsible basketball for him. He plays smart basketball. He was playing a reckless, inefficient basketball, but we all felt like he could do that. I didn't need to see it. Did you?
Well, with LeBron, no, because we had seen it in 07, because we had seen it from LeBron his first 7 years in Cleveland. Like, you can just say because he's an all-time great, he could do it. Kobe couldn't do this. Kobe couldn't. Kobe tried, he couldn't. Like, Kobe couldn't do it. As great as he was, the 3 years of Kobe's career, he didn't have a Hall of Famer alongside him. He missed the playoffs once and didn't get out of the first round the two other years. He scored a bunch of points, couldn't carry. I felt like Durant showed you it bounce here, bounce there, could have carried them through the championship.
Your argument, just to be clear, Nick, your argument is if I haven't seen it, it can't be so.
No, my argument is that if you haven't seen it, you don't know it is so in sports. You are definitively saying you knew it.
What I know is his greatness, Nick. What I know is that you're telling me that Kevin Durant, because for 10 years he has never been on a team where he's the only guy, because he has never been on a team where he's the only time guy, that he can't be an all-time great who carries a team.
He didn't do it with Westbrook. I mean,
but they were great, Stugatz. You know they were great. What do you mean he didn't do it? He got further than this.
Dan, the last time
with Westbrook, he got further than here with Westbrook.
The last time we saw him in a similar situation, he was up 3-1 against Golden State. They lost the next three, and then he left and went to Golden State. So he didn't do it. I mean, he got to the finals, but he didn't do it.
He got further than here. What do you mean didn't do what? Dan, he didn't get eliminated in the second round.
I mean, what you saw in Game 5 is something I've never seen from Kevin Durant before. I mean, we're all sitting here trying to tell you.
Stugatz, you've seen it before.
I've never seen him carry around Jeff Green and Blake Griffin. Stugatz,
the reason you've never seen it is because he's never been on a team where there isn't a second guy.
Right, but we saw it for a night, and he looked incredible, like the best Kevin Durant I've ever seen.
Stugatz, he's looked, I mean, I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, he's looked pretty great the entirety of his career under all circumstances.
There's also a season where he didn't have a second guy. It was 2013-14 when Russell Westbrook got hurt ahead of the season. And he won the MVP that year and had multiple games where he's in the 40s. He carried Oklahoma City deep into the playoffs that year, which, considering he was without Russell Westbrook for most of it, was really damn impressive.
Hold on. To be fair, Chris, that Russ did not miss that full season. Russ was there for the playoffs. Durant in Oklahoma City played one full series without Russell Westbrook. It was against Memphis after Patrick Beverley blew out, messed up Russell's knee in the first round against Houston. So I'm not sure what year you're talking about in comparison, but KD only played one playoff series ever without Russ in OKC. It was the second round against Memphis. And he played one in Golden State without Steph. It was against the Spurs, but he also obviously had Klay. It is surprising to me, Dan, that, like, you, having watched sports as long as you have, are totally discounting the mental aspect of expectations, pressure, and circumstances. Like, I think there is no argument to be made in the world that by an eye test, Peyton Manning is a far better quarterback than Tom Brady, except for the fact that one guy clearly upped his game repeatedly in the big spots, and the other guy had some of his worst moments in the biggest spots. That's not small sample size luck. That is, some people rise to the occasion, some people don't. And for Durant, when there was the built-in confidence of knowing, if I don't have it tonight, my other guys can carry me, that changes the circumstances to allow you to achieve, at least to me. And not even to mention, just the pure, can a guy whose body is built like that play 48 minutes? That you can't say you knew. There's no way you knew he could play 48, and he did it off an Achilles. It's remarkable.
Outside of Barry Bonds and perhaps Peyton Manning, I think you're going to have a hard time finding anyone who has historic kinds of excellence that you would make these claims about.
Chris Paul.
James Harden. Paul. I disagree on Chris Paul. Chris Paul's been great. But what about Harden, Dan? Tell me.
Harden has not been good in the playoffs so far, and I believe that if I gave him a representative sample over the course of his prime, that would correct itself.
Guys played like 140 playoff games. It's almost two seasons in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, we fundamentally disagree on that. We can agree on Jessica's terrible squid take if you'd like to end this on a happy thing.
Why is it terrible?
Come on, Jessica. You had octopi right there. They can change color. They can shape shift. They can do a lot of things. They're literal aliens. Pablo explained all this to you guys, and you went squid. Come on.
Okay, but like a squid and octopus, what's the difference, right? Like Squidward, they're all kind of the same thing.
Okay, well, there you go.
Like they do that thing.
Can't argue that, Nick.
That's what octopus.
Good luck, Nick.
You know what? I've been checkmated. Jessica, Dan tried to checkmate me for 15 minutes. I kept hitting with karate chops. What about Peyton Manning? What about Mike Trout? What about James Harden? You did it with the squid in 30 seconds. You got it. You got me.
So you know that Mike Trout won't be good in the playoffs because you haven't seen it?
Dan, you are arguing in a, like I would almost say, a political manner here, which is twisting my words. It's not what I'm saying. I am not saying I know something won't happen. I am saying I don't know that it will. I'm saying... You seem to be certain Mike Trout, because he's one of the greatest regular season players we've ever seen, that will carry over into the postseason. I'm saying I do not think sports work that way. I would like to see it to know it. Would I bet on him being great in the postseason? I would. Am I as certain of it as I am with Mookie Betts? Of course not. Of course not. Why would I be? I've seen one. I haven't seen the other.
You're arguing about the differences, though, between probabilities and certainties. And I would bet every time on the probabilities of historic greatness being historically great in moments that call for historic greatness. That's how these people get remembered that way. Nick, you're the guy out here who's always arguing about he's always arguing that LeBron is better than Jordan. And both of those guys got all of these questions before they proved it to you that they could actually do it. Both of the guys that are in the argument of greatest you've ever seen in that sport got the same questions until people saw it. And then we always back away from these guys when they do it. We always question the guy, and then we can have the outliers, whether it's Chris Paul or James Harden or Peyton Manning. We can have the outliers, but the guys who are historically great are the ones who do it with excellence in the playoffs. And then they show you they've done it, and they quiet all the critics.
Yeah, which is why for Jordan, it's such a shame he never showed he could do it without Scotty. I mean, 1-9 in the playoffs. Am I right, Stugatz? Without Scotty. I'd like to see him win some without Scotty. But also the guys, like, why is Hakeem Olajuwon unquestionably greater than Patrick Ewing? Well, their regular season numbers, not that different. It's because one guy upped his game every postseason, and one guy tended to get a little bit worse. Why is Dwayne Wade one of the 25 greatest players in league history? He ever win an MVP? Nope. Did he ever win a scoring title? One, I think. So why is he, without a doubt, one of the greatest players we've ever seen? Because of his finals performances, particularly that first one. Like why was Kawhi talked about as arguably the greatest player ever? Was it his regular season success? Nope. He had like two first-team All-NBAs. Is because when other guys got worse, he got better. That's a real thing in sports. We see it all the time. Look, what do you think, Dan? What do you think of Lamar Jackson? Are you fully confident that he's going to have what is going to be considered a great career? Or are they nervous?
I have a hard time with him just in general because that it's a different math the way that he plays the sport. Like him in general, he confuses me in some of the same ways that Ben Simmons did last night. I don't understand what it is that I'm watching with Lamar Jackson because I'm watching a hybrid quarterback who's passing accuracy isn't the his passing strength is not what carries him all the time.
Right, but is it also true that sports are a little bit different almost across the board, maybe except for baseball, in the postseason? That not, and I'm not talking about pressure. I'm talking about how teams defend you, schemes, all of that. Like, it's the same thing that we have seen that, okay, if you can build an entire game plan around stopping this one guy, can he still kill you? And I think to me, that stuff's interesting. And I know all the LeBron folks on Twitter were dying for me. They were tweeting me all weekend, oh, go after KD the way people would go after LeBron, 0 for 6 in overtime, airballed the game winner. And the answer to that is obviously the way people went after LeBron was illogical, and you shouldn't do that to anybody. But also, I was listening to Stugatz this morning, and I was like, I totally agree with that. I knew Kevin Durant was unbelievable at basketball, one of the greatest scorers ever. Him going to Golden State did not teach me anything. This series taught me something. So to me, that's fascinating.
I find amazing after that series, the specifics. Not only did it teach you something, but the respect for Durant has been so universal and so consensus that the previous guy that you were doing that too, Giannis, everyone ignores that he was kind of great in that game too. Like it's being ignored that the winner in that game that you've right. been questioning about his ability to do that in a game seven, that he was also great in that game while playing an absurd number of minutes.
But we're also telling you KD also won in his own way. That's it. There is a difference, Dan. When everyone knows you have to score 50 for the team to have a chance, everyone is geared up to try and stop you, and you still go out there and you give them 50. I mean, it's a big difference. But he won and you can't fall back on Steph or Clay.
He won the MVP the year that everyone was wondering whether or not he could do that or not. Nick, do you have anything else? Because I am actually curious what it is that you thought the historical precedent of what you saw with Ben Simmons. Like, I hate doing choke, soft, coward, and I just thought that you're not going to get anyone to plant their flag on defending Ben Simmons today because of how weird it was to see someone who's allegedly a superstar, you have to take him out of the game.
Well, yeah, like and you guys can look it up. I don't know when it was. There was a game this season against Utah where Ben Simmons scored 42 points. Joel wasn't out there, and they ended up losing that game, but it was – he had 42 points, almost a triple-double, and was dominant. Now he was dominant against fraudulent Rudy Gobert. There's another guy. Tell your advance. Tell Tom. When do you have Tom Haverstraw on? Have him tell me about what an MVP Rudy Gobert is. That's another story. Let me stay on this. Ben got in his own head. I think that's pretty clear, right? And I do think Ben's in a rough spot in that if you took the 15 best players in the league, the two worst to pair with Ben are Giannis and Embiid. If you paired him with Dame, if you paired him with Steph, if you paired him with any perimeter guy, it would really unlock who he is. And Trey was 5 for 23. A lot of that was Ben. But I've never seen a guy take zero shots in the fourth quarter in four straight games. We had Antoine Walker on the show, and he brought up an amazing point. He was like, how do you fall in love with basketball without enjoying shooting basketballs? He was like, that's my favorite thing about the game. He's like, how could you fall in love with basketball?
That is such a great
like
name, though. That is such a great name to summon. Like Antoine Walker. Antoine Walker will live several.
We noticed that he loves shooting.
Never met a shot he didn't like.
Several lifetimes without understanding why others don't like to shoot.
Yeah, but it's I think you have to trade him. I also think that if you're my pal Daryl Morey, it's a bitter pill. You were this close to trading Ben for James Harden, and now you're going to trade him for CJ McCollum? Like, if you do have to trade him this offseason, you're trading him at his nadir, right? You're trading him at his absolute low point, and I don't think that's what anybody planned to do, but I don't know how you run this back. I also don't if you're Philly, you could have won the title with home court throughout and with never having to beat LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi if he's out, Jokic, KD, Harden, Steph, Kyrie, Dame. You could have won the title without ever having to beat any of those guys. And you were basically pretty healthy. And to blow games 4 and 5 the way they did, and then in game 7 at home, hold Trey to 5 of 23 and lose, that's an all-time bad one, man. An all-time bad one.
First things first is where you will catch him, and you should, because he knows more than most. Thank you, Nick, for being on with us.
Thank you. Sorry for the bad internet connection. I blame Billy.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
If you could have a shopping cart from one establishment,
this is the easiest question ever.
Okay, hold on.
If that's the case, hold it.
You wait a minute. You've had this as a topic. Weeks.
No, I said I won't say the answer. Because
did it get passed on?
I said the blank. This place's shopping carts are the Cadillac of shopping carts. That was my topic.
Did it ever make it to air or no?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to guess what Chris is going to say.
Go ahead.
I have a feeling I know what Chris is going to say.
I mean, there's one right answer. It's a clear one.
So long as it doesn't have those automatic locks on it.
It's Target.
It's Target.
He's going to say Target.
It's Target. I mean, that's it.
I do love a good Costco one because they're so wide. They're like the wide body ones.
I've never been to Costco. Never been to Costco.
Yeah, but Target's baskets, like, they got the wide wheels on it.
They're thick. Like, if you went into to do some damage with it, you could.
And smooth. Smooth.
Have you never been to Costco, or you've never been to like a Costco, BJ, Sam Club, like a big place
like that?
Club.
I think maybe when I was like young, I maybe was in one, but
I feel like Greg would be a big Costco guy.
No, my dad's a Publix. They're not in bulk people.
You're missing out.
Yeah, you really are.
Is it a scam?
I've heard that those are a little bit over. I've heard that you waste a lot. Like you buy so much.
Those people don't know what
they're doing. You end up wasting a lot.
Those people don't know
what they're doing. No, yeah, you're doing it wrong if you're wasting it.
Produce you don't do from there, right?
Imagine buying a tire and a thing of ham at the same time.
It's beautiful.
There's nothing better.
Get that at Walmart, right?
Nothing.
Maybe. Depending on the size of the Walmart.
Uh-huh.
And they sell you like your lunch for like 65 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard fresh pizza.
Oh, the pizza's so good. The hot dog for $1.
87-ounce soda.
Yes. Hot dog for $1. And the hot dog's like this big.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard Groupon has good stuff for that. Like you can get your first year of one of those places for like $25 on Groupon.
Sometimes. I mean, it's not that expensive though.
Well, what's like a full year?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
How's Groupon doing, by the way? Are they still kicking?
I feel like Groupon really went on a nosedive after like 2013.
I feel like my mom single-handedly keeps Groupon in business. She always is just like, she makes it rain. When you come into her house, she'll be like where you want to go? Let me see. She like files through a bunch of like Groupon she has.
So I just opened up the Groupon app and the first thing when I popped up and it says trending, Sam's Club. 66% off, $25 for the year.
Wow, look at that.
Right on the money.
Someone said that to me yesterday.
Right on the money. Even though Sam's Club, we can agree, is kind of the lesser tier
Really?
The big clubs, it needed to be said.
I'm just saying. Wow. Like, I think it's Costco, BJ's, and then anything
else. Poor Sam. Yeah.
Back to Groupon. Yeah. Most things you got on Groupon were shite, right?
Yes, absolute shite.
What?
Absolute shite.
Yeah, but they always keep their cash value. Like, you always get that $25 you spent on it back if you happen to miss your Groupon. Because I do it with, like, restaurants where you pay $25 for $60 worth of food, and then even if it expires, you still get that cash value, baby.
Basically, what I'm saying is like, unless you know of a place on Groupon and you know it to be good, if you're trying a place that you found on Groupon, it probably sucks.
Wow.
I agree.
Wow, jeez. Not over here. Yeah. Every time I go to change my oil, I go to Groupon. Jiffy Lube.
I was just about to say, they have the best deals on changing oils and or any work for for auto parts.
Yeah, every single time I need an oil change, I go to Groupon.
For some reason, there's a lot of skydiving.
See, I wouldn't trust my life to a Groupon.
Get skydiving out of my life, just in general. Just like, why? I can't think of anything worse. Like, if you said to me, what's the last thing you'd want to do on this Saturday afternoon? It's skydiving.
Really? There's nothing.
No, I don't want to almost die today. No. I know Woody's looking at me right now. You know, it's probably more dangerous driving to
the airport. Yeah, driving to the skydiving place is more dangerous than skydiving.
It doesn't feel more dangerous, though.
Yeah.
That's an important factor for me, how dangerous it feels.
It feels. Gotcha.
I mean, look, you're jumping out of an airplane, and only a contraption is to stop you from dying.
Cloth contraption.
Yes.
And some guy's like Velcroed to me.
That's reliant upon
a lever.
I know
he's not Velcroed. He's probably.
I was going to say, you better hope he's not Velcroed.
Just the worst.
Groupon's wild right now. I scrolled down a little bit. HGH factor, natural muscle building enhancer. Like, wow. Just straight up buy HGH, it looks like, on Groupon now. $28.
Didn't they sell you that one time with that concrete thing that you were taking?
That was another. That wasn't Groupon. That was another place. CBD concrete? Also seems to be big on Groupon.
You've
now.
Never heard the story of Billy eating concrete?
What?
It wasn't actual concrete.
It wasn't actual concrete, but it might as well have been concrete.
It was like it was a protein shake that was for someone that was meant to weigh like 300 pounds, and it almost killed me, and it destroyed stones. My kidneys, from what I hear.
Yeah,
wasn't the best.
I don't feel like we're a skydiving show. Looking around the Zoom in this room, I feel like there's two people, and Mike's one of them. He's not even here.
I feel like I did Mike, indoor skydiving once.
Indoor, that's different.
That's safe.
No, it's not skydiving unless you jump out of a plane.
I feel like Tony and Mike Ryan are the only two people on this show that tandem. Would go skydiving.
But y'all can have fun. There.
I'd give it a go.
Really?
All right, yeah. Witty's on.
All right.
Nice.
I don't think Mike would go skydiving.
Really? I could see Mike.
Yeah, I don't see Mike skydiving. That's
no.
Cool. All right, me and Witty.
All right. So I was right about you.
Yeah, remember I told you I was let's go skydiving.
I do remember.
You said, do you think you graduate from wanting to skydive when you have kids? Because
I've never wanted to, but maybe that could be a factor. Like Dan's definitely not skydiving.
I doubt that.
Ooh, BJ's $40 for the year. Hmm. 15 more than Sam's Club.
What about hot air balloons?
Nah,
I like a nice air balloon.
I'd rather skydive than that.
Oh no,
really?
I'd rather go in an air balloon.
Yeah. I've often thought, like, if I go on a plane, if I should just buy my own, like, personal parachute, just in case things go south, I'm ready to bail if I have to. You know what I mean?
Now, Billy, earlier, I was very jealous of your invention take. I thought it was an absolutely incredible take, that it was easier to be an inventor.
It went absolutely nowhere.
I mean, it should have, because that was a great take.
At least you tried.
But
it's a truth. It's a fact.
Who do you think was the first person to come up with the concept of a hot air balloon? As a means of travel, right? Let's propel ourselves into the air using hot air.
And what ideas, like, didn't make it? Like, you know, if that was one of their ideas, they probably had to have a bunch of ideas.
Because somebody had to be the first person that went into the sky in a hot air balloon. Like, I've heard this before. Like, there had to have been a first person that decided, I'm going to drink the milk of a cow, right? And that first person was a bold man, right? Mm-hmm. Or woman.
Or right? Woman, yeah.
But either way, that person had a remarkable amount of fortitude in order to think, I'm going to drink the milk of a cow. Now, someone also had to be the first person that decided, this basket, I don't know, what do you call the object underneath the hot, a wicker basket.
Wicker basket.
Someone had to go up into the sky in a wicker basket, propelled by hot air, and decided, I'm going to try this. This
I
might
put the
work.
Person's name in the chat. It's a you name.
Oh. Jean-Francois. What the hell is
that's
wow. We reached the name you couldn't say.
Got him, Billy.
Like leaning
he's
the camera,
bringing his glasses Jean- down a little bit.
Yeah, you know, like lower them to the bridge of my nose here. Jean Francois Pilate de Rosière. Ah.
I haven't told you guys that on my honeymoon in Africa, the hot air balloon caught fire.
What?
Yes.
What? Hot air balloon you were in?
Yes, the one I'm in.
I thought you were in Hawaii.
No, I stopped in Hawaii on my way to Africa.
Just a little long pit way stop. Around.
Out of the way.
You know what? Actually, forgive me. I got my timeline screwed up. You're right. I got. I went on my honeymoon. I went to Hawaii and then Japan. Africa is when I got engaged. But the hot air balloon was going over the plains of Africa. So you are basically, there are animals beneath you,
Jesus.
Animals that can eat you. And I look up and the balloon itself has a hole that is growing because it is on fire. That is correct. Over an African plain. And the guy seemed like it wasn't the scariest thing in the world.
Key. It's like looking at the flight attendant, making sure if they're not panicked, you're good.
And they were not panicked, but we absolutely did crash land near some dung, near some fresh animal. I don't know what animal it was, but the basket ended up sideways, just sort of spilling us out into the African plane. Yes.
You were in a hot air balloon crash?
Yes. It wasn't a crash. It was a landing.
An accident.
It was a landing that made the basket supposed to land flat. It did not land flat. It landed and then went to its side and spit us out. And my head ended up near some fresh animal dung of some sort.
When does poop graduate to dung?
When you're in the African plane.
How many times have you been in a hot air balloon?
Is that the first?
I think somebody's told a story of being in a hot air. It was either you or Stugatz.
Stugatz also claims to have been in a hot air balloon crash.
Stugatz said on during a romantic adventure that his hot air balloon ended up in a tree with his wife, Abby. I don't think I've been on a hot air balloon other than that time, and that may be my last, obviously. So, that did not go the way that I wanted that to go.
So what happens after you land near the dung? Does, like, the, does
we just
the hot
went
air...
to breakfast nearby. Just there, it was a romantic breakfast
okay, but
place
like,
nearby.
But like, was it near where you took off from?
It
that
was,
way,
yeah,
like,
well,
okay.
We landed where we were supposed to, or close to where we were supposed to land. It wasn't like a panic situation. They were asking what the situation was. Was it your honeymoon or when you were proposing that you ended up in a tree? In your hot air balloon.
I did not propose in a hot air balloon, but I did go on a hot air balloon trip, a ride in San Francisco, Northern California. On my honeymoon, we got stuck in a tree. And I haven't been back since. I mean, to the entire area, by the way.
You just avoided the entire, yes. Not just the tree, yeah. Not just hot air balloons. You've avoided the entire West Coast because of the time that you ended up in a tree.
Witty has me thinking now. We were talking about people inventing stuff. Like when they were trying to invent flying, there must have been some ideas that didn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all right, maybe this will work. Instead of putting hot air in a balloon, let's, you know, I don't even know what the ridiculous idea
was. Haven't you seen like some of those things that just bounce up and down a lot, like really fast?
Yeah.
Like the plane like models before they figured it out are ridiculous.
I imagine just someone on a bicycle trying to get it like it's a bicycle propelled and like there's a thing that flaps like they're like the, you're right. The ideas on the cutting room floor for flying.
I don't have anything better than what you offered, but I do love that you went straight from I wonder who the first person was to take flight in a hot air balloon to the first person to drink milk as if it was the same kind of danger. Like I love that the second and you're not wrong. Like it is. Wait a minute. This cow is excreting something from its udder. Let me drink that. The first person who did that did show some bravery.
I mean, bad milk is a dangerous game, Dan. It spoiled
is.
Milk?
But he's not talking about spoiled milk. He's talking about the first person to have tried milk ever in the history of milk. I don't know why you have milk coming out of a cow spoiled. Is there any particular reason? It's the freshest possible milk.
It's the unknown. Cheese. That's all I'm saying. You're the first one. It's the unknown.
It was probably warm, right, though.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that the first person to drink milk from a cow was brave. I think it was like the crazy person of the town. It's like, you know what? Fluids coming out of this animal. Let's drink that. And they're like, I don't know about that, Tim. I don't think we're going to be drinking that stuff coming out of that animal. And then sure enough, Tim's like, I'm telling you, I feel so strong now. Look at all this calcium. And then they're like, okay, we'll try it. And then it caught on.
Do you think they also tried pee first? They're like, well, if the milk's good, maybe.
Poop, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Drink a little pee.
Billy, would you do me the favor, please, of telling me more
anything out of an animal.
About this Tim?
Oh, there's a Tim in every crew. Yeah. Go
ahead. Yeah. Everyone knows a Tim, right? That does the thing that you're like, I don't know about that, Tim. I wouldn't be doing that. And then every once in a while, Timmy hits one out of the park, and you're like, okay, cool. Timmy invented candles.
I imagine they had dry cereal first, and they were like, man, we just need something to go with this cereal.
And they were the cereal came before the milk.
So you have cornflakes.
You have no water. So you didn't use water.
Let me just be clear on this. You've got somebody walking through an old town, okay, with some Raisin Bran, a bowl of Raisin Bran.
Hey, I invented this.
Saying,
anyone got any liquid?
Water doesn't make this better. I don't think. What about that cow over there? You think maybe something in that cow's udder would make this Raisin Bran taste a little better?
We're laughing, but this had to have been the brainstorming session for milk, right?
I don't know. It was not. I think absolutely it was. I think not. It was not dry cereal. I'm going to go ahead. Which do you guys think is first in terms of consumption, cereal or milk?
Put it on the poll.
Put it on the poll, Billy, at Levitard Show. What was the first thing consumed by man, milk or cereal or Raisin Bran?
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip. I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.